Well, hi everyone. Just checking you can all hear me. Hello, Barbara. Wonderful. Good. Hello, Miriam. Lovely to see you both. Hello. Welcome, everybody. Oh, on the dot. We are there. Look at that. Hi, Susan. Hello. Hi, Gertrude. It's been a while. I've been MIA. I've been MIA, everyone. Well, not MIA because I wasn't in action. I was just missing. I wasn't missing in any action. There was no action. Hello, how am I? Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Stefan. How are you? Hello, Florian. Hello, welcome, everyone. Let's see, we've got... Lovely. Can I just check? Can you hear my fan? Is it frustrating? No, it can't hear. Okay, wonderful. Good. Thank you for confirming. I can't hear anything. I'm glad people are nodding. How is the coffee-free lifestyle? Oh, God, actually, it would be coffee-free, only I got COVID. So I had to do something. It's not coffee-free anymore. Oh. Can you hear the disappointment? I didn't realize I had it and I was still training Muay Thai every day. And I just thought I was really tired. So, yeah, that's that. Thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, I do. Thank you. Yeah, I do actually. That was tough. That was tough. Yeah. I'm here, that's all I can say. Thank you very much. Thank you. Give a couple of minutes. The main man has not yet joined us, so we'll wait. So let us know how you're all doing. That was my snapshot of my life story. How are all of you? I would love to know. There he is. I still want to know how you are, though. Just because he's joined doesn't mean that I'm not interested. Thank you, Barbara. That's wonderful. Good, Monica. I'm really pleased. I'm wonderful to hear that. That's wonderful. Good. Thank you, Gauchi. Yeah, so you probably have noticed that there's been a little bit of missing in action. That was why. Oh, Peter, I've got you twice. I've got your camera twice.
That's funny. Mm. He keeps doing that.
How does it? I mean, I like two of you, but it's not necessary.
Yeah, it always does that for some reason. I don't know why he's doing that.
No, I don't know.
Switch one of me off.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's weird, that is. Which one can I switch off?
Oh, pick the best one. Can we have the best one?
I can only see myself once here. That's me there. Which one's that then? Oh, this one here, which hasn't got a microphone. Let's get rid of this one. That should do it.
Okay. Right. Although it's still present, but I won't kick you out as a just in case. All right. Okay. So we are a few minutes past. We've got quite a few people in, so I do think we can start. We can get going. I've got a couple of announcements, everyone, before Peter starts talking about sovereignty today. So do bear with me whilst I do that. Well, actually, they're quite exciting things. So today is Saturday. It's the 5th of March, and that means that after today's Q&A call, where Peter will be talking about sovereignty, we're then going to be going into our workshop. What's a workshop? Anyone want to join the workshop with us today? You're more than welcome to join our workshop, but I'm sure that you would love to join our workshop instead. And the workshop today is all about power, how you come to terms with your power. So if you are a magical student, then we will see you at 1:30 the next hour, whatever country you are in. If you are not a magical membership student, that doesn't matter. You can still join us. There is still time. So I'll ask admin to pop that link in the chat. So if you would like to join our workshop after this call, then you can. Peter, could you please just give one sentence of what that's about, the workshop today, please? Why are you laughing?
Power. It's going to carry on very well from the idea of sovereignty, because it's all about the same thing: stepping into your power, owning your own life, being in control of yourself, and being willing to be powerful, having that willingness. We're getting rid of all the inhibitions, all the kind of blockages, all the reasons why you don't think you should be powerful. So can you finally step into your power and be a master of your own life?
Great. Thank you very much. So again, if you'd like to join us, if you're not a member, then you can. The link will be coming in the chat very soon. I do believe we've got admin on. If not, then I will find the link in a moment when I stop talking and I will add that for you. And we've also got our, We've also got our magical students call tomorrow. So don't forget that. It's Sunday, the 6th of March. So if you are a student of any kind of Peter's, then you're welcome to join us, where Peter will be talking how to magically gain back your sovereignty. So again, a continuation of today's conversation. Peter will be going into a bit more depth around that. Anything you want to say about that before I go on to the next item, Peter?
No, we'll just carry on today, because it carries on from today anyway. So we'll just hear this first, and then you can see if you want more.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you very much. So now just a very quick note from me. So with the global situation at the moment isn't quite the best, as I'm sure you will all agree right now. But I've been busy doing things, which I'm about to show you. Not a lot of you know the type of thing that I do, but one of the ways that I bring magic to the world is through channeling or downloading or drawing mandalas. I create portals to potential futures through these mandalas. And one of the mandalas that I recently downloaded on the previous full moon, this information came through. This was a portal, or it is a doorway, a portal to the potential future of freedom, peace, and love for the world. And I was thinking particularly about all of those crusaders, all of the warriors right now who are doing whatever it is that they need to do, want to do, are doing in order to gain justice and to gain victory, to bring us all forward into that world, into that future of freedom, peace, and love. I'm just going to share my screen very quickly, one second, because I am going to share this mandala with all of you. I'm going to put this link in the chat, and this link will take you to this landing page. And on the landing page, you'll see here that this itself is the mandala that I have drawn. If you want, you can put speaker view so you can see it in full view right now. And this mandala is vibrating at the resonance of freedom, peace, and love. The reason why I am sharing this with you now is because I'm inviting you to work with this mandala. I do give instructions here on the web. On the landing page about how you can work with this. You can gaze at it, you can meditate with it, you can do mantra with it, print it, put it on your wall, stick it on your phone, put it on your computer screensaver. I'm sure there are lots of wonderful creative ways that you can have this mandala present in your life. The more eyes and the more hearts we have on this mandala, then the more we will be vibrating at the resonance of freedom, peace, and love. So this is a gift for everyone in the world. And the other thing that I wanted to say is that this isn't just for you. I am asking that if you have an audience, if you are part of any groups, if you are in Telegram groups, MeWe groups, Facebook groups, you have a following, you have meetups, whatever, please, if this resonates with you, then share this mandala far and wide, as far and wide as you possibly can. As I say, the more hearts and minds and eyes that we have on this, the more walls, the more desks, the more phones we have this mandala on, the better, because this will be resonating or emitting that resonance out into the world. I'll stop sharing now. As I say, I will put that link to the web page in the chat. And then when you have a look at the web page, When you click download, it will take you to another landing page where you have options of how you want to download that mandala. There are different fancy ones that you can download, so you choose. And if you want to physically print it and distribute it, again, if you're at a rally, if you're at a protest, if you go to a meetup or whatever, you can actually physically print that and distribute it as well. So thank you very much for listening. And if anyone has any questions about that, then you're very welcome to ask me. So that's enough from me about my mandala. Thank you very much for all the wonderful feedback. I will now pass over to Peeper. Who's Peeper? I'm going to pass over to Peter, where he's now going to talk to you about sovereignty and taking it back. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right.
Will you hear me okay? I'm getting a cut here. Okay. So I'm going to carry on talking. Hang on, I've got a whole echo going here. Hang on a minute. Let me try and fix this sound problem.
I'm just having a look to see if I can eject that second one, Peter, and it doesn't look like I can.
Yeah, it's weird.
I can remove co-host permissions, but I can't remove you. Yeah, we know that you can hear Peter. Thank you very much. But Peter can hear himself. He's got an echo. And that's very off-putting when you're trying to talk. So that we're just trying to see if we can remove him. I don't know which to do.
Okay, try. Nope, still echoing.
I'm wondering, Peter, if... Oh, no, that will do it on both of them. And you were saying, Peter, that every time you log in, this happens, right? So it wouldn't help if you logged out and came back in.
Yeah, maybe.
Do you want to give that a try?
I'll give it a try, yeah.
All right. Yeah, sorry for the delay, everyone. Okay, we'll speak to you in a second. Sorry for the delay, everybody.
Hang on, how do I log out? Oh, there we go. Okay,
okay. All right, so now we just got me. Hi, everyone. Let's fill the space. So I did put the link in the chat. If anyone wants to download that mandala, then you can. If anyone's got any questions about the mandala, then you can ask now. And that will fill the gap. But as I said, it was I was incapacitated for a little while, wasn't able to do a lot. And I do believe that I was being asked to create space for this download to occur. And it just did. There it was. I had a look at how to remove him and I couldn't see how to get that out. Get him out. So hopefully this will. Oh, hang on. He's still there. This one is still there. Rename, remove co-host permissions. No, make host, no. Hide non-video participants. No, it's not an option to remove that person or that sign. I see what happens.
Okay, that's better. No,
oh, is it? Wonderful. Yeah, we've got you loud and clear. Thanks. All right.
Okay, so sovereignty. I'm going to carry on. Hope you all read my recent blog. I'm going to carry on where we left off with there. So sovereignty, basically, another big part I want to deal with is actually the herd instinct. You see, there's a reason why we have almost different pools in ourselves. That sovereignty is the most natural state of our being. We seek to find our own power since we're children. It's natural for us to go and explore ourselves, exert our wills. So we won't become rebellious when we're teenagers. As our life force awakens, we end up exert ourselves, think for ourselves, we start breaking away from parents' will, and basically create our own reality, create our own dreams. So what goes wrong? Apart from all the other things I mentioned in the blog, the herd instinct takes us a different direction. See, the herd instinct is part of a genetic program for survival. And the survival is about the genes, not you. What happens when you have the genes have a new host? You can die. They don't need you anymore. The species wants to carry on. The genes have a will of their own. They seek to actually fulfill the species and keep it going, rather than worried about the individual, whereas the sovereignty is about the individual. So what happens then? We've got two drives. There's drives for self-determination, our own growth, our own will,
make your own choices, creating your own dreams. Then there's a bit which goes to the herd, and everyone wants to listen to the one in charge. Now, the herd instinct is activated when there's a need for safety, when there's fear, basically. When you're in danger, the herd comes together for safety. Suddenly they're all looking after each other as one whole, rather than individuals. So fear is the main key, which keeps you out of your sovereignty and into the herd instinct, which is why society likes to keep you in fear so much. All the fears are spread everywhere is to kind of keep you in fear, so you listen to the one in charge. See, what happens is then when you're in a state of fear and can't make your choices for yourself, you're hoping somebody in charge knows what they're doing and will make everything okay for you. And this is the kind of illusion I like to work with all the time. So a big part of what goes wrong is understanding how we relate to this herd instinct, why it's there, and how it goes too far. Now, we live in society for a reason. It's not just out of the herd instinct. Society is created for three basic reasons. It's a place, safe place to fulfill your needs and preferences. It's there to protect you from chaos. And of course, the third rule is that it has to learn to survive on its own, become autonomous. The problem is this last one, something on its own, has taken over the other two. Our needs now go out the window as long as society survives. So almost when society starts to become a bit too strong, herd instinct has overridden our individual will and we're all losing ourselves. Suddenly the individual's not listened to, your needs don't matter. They keep telling you to put your sacrifice into these hole. Well, actually there is no hole. The society is made of individuals. If the people not succeeding, then how can society be a success? It's only one of its elements that's succeeding, then it must be autonomous inside of its own. So how has this come so far? Well, first of all, understanding the nature of egregores. Any egregore set up on its to achieve anything will keep going on that one function. It doesn't think outside the box. If society's function is to actually survive on its own, you create this egregore of the whole society where it keeps doing that. The whole survives, the strength, it pulls people's minds into it, creates group consciousness. So everybody joins in with this and actually wants to come fulfill the same dream in a way. In this case, the dream is to actually survive on its own, but also it's trying to protect you from chaos. And trouble with that is that chaos can often mean good. When society is first starting up and you see chaos as all the dangers out in the wild, you want protection to make that, so we stay with a nice, safe society where you're free of those dangers. Actually, a bit of chaos is good these days. Creativity is chaos. Miracles are chaos. Humor is chaos. These are all things that are outside the logical box where everything is ordered. Too much order stifles the spirit. And there's no creativity. There's no dreaming. So the magic goes. Magic is also chaos. It's not logical. It's not orderly and fixed and controlled. It's outside the box. Love is chaos. It's not controlled either. Beauty, all these things are chaos. These are the light chaos. So a society is actually protecting us from chaos. It's sort of looking at all these good parts of chaos. People stay stifled, under control. They're led by the egregore and lose themselves. So there's two drives all the time. The drive to be powerful, the drive to be self-determined, and the need to have safety within the crowd. So the first key to understand then, in order to overcome this kind of a control from the outside and step into sovereignty, is to deal with the fear. What do you do in the case of fear? Quite often people don't know the answer, but I hope somebody else does. The trouble is, once you actually pretend to know the answer, once you're creating the problem, this is how society is working. They keep you in fear, to keep you down, keep you believing in the government, keep believing the lead and do everything they say. And then they end up making you think that what they're doing is good for you. This would be the power way more and more. First, way to deal with this then is to understand the power loss in that. You see, that itself is a tool of control that takes your power away. This is always the first step we look at. So when you're losing power, how is it given away and take it back? Now, there are many tools of control. Force is one of them, which they use a lot because, you know, if you disobey the government, they tend to come crashing down, you throw you in prison and everything. But the biggest one is fear. First of all, the fear of But actually, once you got used to being afraid of anything, you can be afraid of the unknown, because you never know what they're going to do when you don't obey. And then all these unknown problems come in, all the chaos, and it's like you might suspect somebody's doing it to you. It's not just really natural, but you don't know what's going to go on. There's a fear of the unknown. So naturally, one of the biggest tools of control by the leaders is fear of the unknown, always keeping you guessing, keeping you in the illusion, so you cannot feel secure in yourself and therefore can't feel secure in your decisions and the reality you wish to build. In building our dreams, obviously you need a certain amount of security, don't you? You need to be centered in your power where you can actually go forward from a safe place to create your dreams. When you take the basic safety away and you're in fear, you're always seeking somebody else to come and make it better for you again. So the fear makes it easy to give your power away. It makes it more natural to give your power away because you go back to the herd instinct. So first of all, then, we need to recognize how power's been taken. The fear-mongering is a tool of control. First thing you do, then, recognize then when you're spreading fear, taking your power. So you stop and you take it back. This already changes things. You see, as you give power away, you believe the lies more. Amongst the many things power does, it also gives us a discrimination. It functions, it gives you intuition, all these aspects of your power. When you can't get clear answers and don't know what's happening, you're out of control, this lack of power. So the more you give your power away, the less you can discriminate, and therefore you give more power away. And this is where you get the vicious circle going on. People get pulled into this herd instinct, this becomes such an instinct, and go for generations and generations, and people fall into it without thinking. So be aware then, whenever there's fear going on, this is what society does, what the leaders do, to take your power away. So the first thing you do, draw that circle around yourself, take the power back. When you're taking your power back, you start remembering more and more that you're in control. You can create your reality. You see beyond the lies. You can then see your kind of, through all the kind of crap they're telling you, and realize this doesn't make sense. You know, when you really look at it, there's so much that's out there that's ridiculous in the news. You wonder why, how you could ever fall for it, but actually people fall for it all the time, because the fear takes over. Show a scary image and bang, people think there's something scary happening in the world and everything's in danger. And quite often it's nothing like what's really happening in the world. A prime example is right now when you see all the kind of filming from Ukraine. Did you realize that the creator of the video game Arma 3 is suing the press and the government in Ukraine for breach of copyright? Because the films are putting out actually from the video game. Nothing real there. So you make me wonder, well, what's really going on then? None of those films are real. So you can see there's always agendas going here to create fear. So before you go rushing in and think to get taken over by the media and go into the state of fear and think there's something wrong with the world and you have to change it all, first of all, realize most of it is lies. You don't really know what's going on until you actually take your power back and no longer believe all the lies of the media and the governments and the leaders. Intuition only works when you're fully in your power. As long as you keep listening to propaganda, you're kept in fear, don't actually hear truth. And this is a big mistake people make in this world. People get so carried on in the different political beliefs that they really believe they're right. They really believe that intuition is functioning. But actually, intuition is not functioning as long as you've been affected by fear and propaganda. I mean, it's not one form of propaganda, it's another. You only see clearly when you cut your power back. Intuition is natural. We have a natural connection to the whole world. Everybody, we can feel people around the world. You feel the connection to life. You feel things going on. When you're really in that intuition, you know when you're being lied to. But as long as you actually still want to trust in the leader, it goes in and the fear hits you again. It's almost like an instinct. Well, it is an instinct, herd instinct. Pulls you out of the fear. An egregore set up so strongly that people go into that fear very quickly. So it's important then to stop and look at these fears. Whenever you hear this kind of propaganda going on and the government's telling you things and which taking your power away from where you want to go, realize it's all lies. Take your power back first, then you can start to feel what's really going on. It's also why I would like to reinforce what I always said about when we do the Chroma Cabal. Don't think you can pick on one particular leader and think they're what the problem is. There's so many lies out there, you don't know where the problem is. It's focused on the overall egregore of the corruption, what you can call deep state, anything you like. But let's not pick on one particular figure and think they're the problem, because quite often that's more propaganda. You don't know what they're doing at all. Don't go into the fear. Don't get caught up in other people's agendas and all the kind of panic and all the outrage and so on. It's all being led to make you give your power away. So the first thing to do then in order to step into sovereignty is to observe your fear. Not give in to propaganda. Not give in to the herd instinct. Realize the two sides there. There's you who wants to create your reality. The part of you wants to actually feel safe in the herd. Observe both of them so you can make a choice. When you take your power back, the herd instinct gets less. You can observe that, but it's, no, I don't need this. I'll make my choices. The only one who can make myself safe is me, because I create my reality. How do I know somebody else is going to make a better life for me? He's got other agendas. He doesn't care about me. Less all the other millions of people he's supposed to be taking care of. So first of all, get rid of the illusion that the ones in charge are there for your benefit. No, they're there to take your power away for their own benefit. This is another kind of big key part of the occult teachings, actually, go way back. Something called the Pharaoh Principle. You see, the Pharaoh, in order to actually put himself in the position where everybody listened to him, had to set himself above the others, somehow divine. And in those days, actually saw the Pharaoh as a god. And there were certain tools of control set in place so that people would obey them. It's all about this one person needs everybody else to fulfill his dream. He's forgotten how to create his dream himself. He's gone from the idea of resonance, which is how magic works, to manipulation and control, which is more like mechanical Newtonian physics and mechanics, like Billy Boggs and all the other long course and effect. It's not how magic works. We create our universe out of resonance, not force. It takes no force to make things happen. Right now, this very room you're in is filled with all the love your higher self has for you, all the love your goddess has for you. Your present resonance determines how much of the love you're feeling. You can't force the goddess to love you more because she already loves you totally. When you change your resonance, you receive more of that love. So none of this actually is forceful. As you change your resonance, you change your reality. It's no competition, it's no force. We don't need other people to do it for us because it is all your creation. When people step into competition then, they're working basically back on the idea of impact rather than resonance, trying to force things. This is where they need to actually manipulate everybody else into actually creating the world they want. So the Pharaoh Principle is all about how, then, from the beginning, how the leaders learn to control people to fulfill their own dream. Set themselves up as divine as if they know better than you. And then create all these tools such as force, fear, image manipulation, altruism. These are all tools of control. When you understand that, you realize that it's all about taking power from you. That's how it all set up. Before that, before there were big leaders, life was simpler. You have local tribes and with their councils who actually discuss what's better for each group. You know, this was the idea of a council first came. A representative from each little tribe would get together to discuss what's better for the whole. That's where the council came from. But you can see the world has gone way beyond that. It's no longer people discussing their needs, or they have some of that within councils, but it's like mostly it's about the leader taking everybody's responsibility or everybody's rights away, making decisions for them all. It's all to actually fulfill their dreams, not yours. To come back to our sovereignty, we have to come back to our magic. Realize we don't need force. We don't need manipulation. We're not competing with anybody. Your resonance is going to determine your reality. We don't want to be resonance of fear. When you come back to who you really are and follow your will and your dreams, you start creating those dreams. And the good news is that because sovereignty is such a natural part of us, it has its own resonance, almost like its own blueprint. There's trace of it left in the world. Like even there's a place like what they call a sovereignty stone in Ireland, remember, in some of the sacred sites. The places of sovereignty where certain kings were crowned, where certain tribes came together to actually feel strong again, where people paying attention to restore their power. There's an energy of sovereignty. When you understand what it's like, that blueprint, it can be transmitted to return you to that sovereign position. Helps you step out of the weakness, out of the kind of survival instinct of the herd instinct, into your sovereignty, a shift of resonance, basically. And because this is not anything rational, we're going to do this psionically. When you use this program, it's simply putting that energy in you of the sovereign being again, so you actually step into the energy of sovereignty. It's going to work quite naturally this way, without any thoughts, without any kind of processing going on. All the other processes get easier once you actually have the energy of sovereignty, because it's natural. Really, this is not something we should have to think about in a natural state of being. When we're in our strength, we're not in that fear. However, because the herd instinct does exist, sometimes something's knock it back into place to return our sovereignty. So when there's a major danger is over and you're not in the kind of instant herd again, you come back to your sovereignty. Think about it, these herd instincts never meant to last very long. Like, for instance, when you got a herd of animals, it's only when it's suddenly attacked by a predator they all suddenly run together. It lasts a few minutes and they're back to individuals again. It's not something supposed to stay. When it stays that long, you know that something has gone wrong. It's been manipulated far too much. So the Pokemon Sovereignty is going to simply restore that. So I'm going to use a Sonic Pokemon here.
If anyone has any questions whilst Peter's doing this, please do type away, and then we'll get to those questions in a moment. Thank you very much.
So I'm going to do on this chart, I'm going to target everybody who's watching this. Let's switch it on properly first, power it up. Target everybody who's watching this, everybody watches the replay. I'm going to set the timer, some powers for maybe for 1-2 weeks is a good time to actually set the Pokemon back in place. That'll overcome all the kind of stuff that's pulled you off. Power up and start. Let's go. Simple, it's running. So it's now running for 2 weeks. Everybody who's watching this has accepted it. It's going to have that running now automatically. You don't have to think about it. Just having accepted the sovereignty program, this energy sovereignty is on you. It'll restore you back to your natural self-will, separate from the herd instinct. So it'll come automatically. In that time, it's still useful to actually do them things I've said in my other blog about the ways you can actually take back power. Because obviously, along the way, a lot of power is given away. Every time you believed in the government's lies and stepped into fear, you give power away again. Every time you've been bullied and controlled, you give power away again. Every time you believe the lies, you give power away. So you're stopping taking it all back. So what I suggest you do, try it now for a moment. You can close your eyes. Just imagine you're somewhere safe. There's a ground, you can see the ground around you, and you're going to pick up a stick, maybe the birch or oak. With this stick, you're going to draw a circle clockwise on the ground around yourself, creating a circle of focus. And you can call to the edge of the circle everybody you've given power away to. Start off with the leaders, the ones you believe that were telling the truth, the ones who actually controlled you, the ones who made up these mandates and stopped you from acting. You can also bring in press who actually helped spread the lies. Obviously, those who you didn't believe is not so important, but those who actually controlled you, so you couldn't act, those you need to take power back from. So each one comes up to the circle, you're going to see them holding the power they've taken from you. Maybe in some symbolic form, or maybe just be a pool of energy. You're going to reach out and take it back. They might struggle, but in this circle, truth prevails. Remember, they're outside the circle. They can't cross the line. But you can reach out and take the power back. So when you've taken power back from that one, call up the next one. Maybe somebody more in your own life who's like a more local kind of authority who's been controlling you, or it could be another leader, or somebody who's heard of the control. See them holding the power, just reach out and take it back. And if you don't see a particular person, you can take your power back from whole organizations, government, church, school, where you've actually been programmed and conditioned and disempowered. The egregore there is also taking power back, because you can actually see the group as such. If you don't know what an egregore looks like, is how you like it to be. See some big energy being there that's taken your power, recognize what egregore it is, and you're going to reach out and take that power back. Okay, that'll do for now. I mean, you can carry on along this as long as you like later on, according to different people who remember you're giving power away to, and if you enjoy it, you keep doing it to get all your power back. But you'll find just by doing this little bit already, you're likely to less believe in what the leader's telling you. You start seeing through the lies more. You start to seeing through the fear and don't believe it anymore. Things start to change already. And you begin to be more aware of how you create your reality. You come back to your dreams rather than getting caught up in what the news is telling you all the time. So remember, whatever is happening out there, you're still creating your reality. Too much attention to what's might be happening out there and what you might have to do about other people is distracting from your creative process. Your power is here to create your reality, nothing else. It's wasted trying to control somebody else. What happens though, because we've got people trying to control us, we fall into that pattern and try and control them. That's codependency. We don't even need to control these leaders. Once you recognize they have no power, it's you who creates your reality, not them. They just fade away.
Thank you very much. Are you ready for questions?
Okay, yep.
Yeah. So a question from me, actually. When we give back shame, it's obviously a metaphysical element.
Oh, yeah.
And you can feel it in your body and you can feel it leaving your body when you give it back.
Yep.
But what's happening with power? When this exchange takes place, when you take back the power, this isn't metaphysical. So what is happening?
Oh, it is. It's still metaphysical. Oh, but thing is, but there are different types of power. It can be very subtle. It can be more dense sometimes. See, everything we do requires power. There's different levels of power, though. Obviously, even pushing something physically requires a certain amount of effort, power to actually move it. On more energetic level, it takes power to think, takes power to discriminate. More subtle things have more subtle kind of power, but there's a power there. It's an energy that is passed on. So sometimes when you take power back, you really feel something really strong, makes you feel different straight away. Other times it's more subtle. Your thinking changes. Your realizations come more easily.
So if you don't feel anything during the exchange, then it doesn't mean that nothing is happening.
No, it might be subtle. Sometimes the power you feel straight away, others are far more subtle and take time to integrate.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Limerie would like to know, can you take power back from other lives?
Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter where you lost it. You can take it back anytime you like. So if you have memories of past lives, you lost power, do the same exercise and take it all back.
Great, thank you. And we've got some good feedback from Veronica. She felt that very much as you were doing that. When taking our power back, can we combine the technique from the psychic protection course where we grow 50 feet tall or assume the Sekhmet God form as we grab the power?
If you need to, yes. You see, even size is an illusion. You know, it's like when you're in as pure awareness, we're not in impact anymore. So it doesn't require force, but sometimes it makes you feel easier if you're bigger. Sometimes it's a feeling of being small, you see. When you grow bigger in your mind and say, I'm now bigger than the other person, you know, it's a whole different feeling. It gives you more authority to take it back. So the exercise of going bigger is very useful sometimes. Assumption of God forms is also very useful. If you feel close to a particular God, you call them in, they're kind of in you, become take their form, then you feel a great deal more confidence to do the work with. It all depends on how confident you feel.
Sometimes it's hard to tell when someone is taking our power. For example, people who are always putting you down when you feel excited and telling you that they are only trying to help. How do we recognize when someone is taking our power?
First of all, it makes you feel down. And that's the first key. When you feel down, there's two things happening. They're taking your power, giving you shame. Now, quite often when somebody's making you feel bad when you're feeling good, it's shame. This is a strange thing people do, and it's like when you really look at it, what the common ingredient there is value. Value is a form of power too. Take that away, and you also give them shame at the same time. Now, everybody tries to seek value in one way or another. Unfortunately, some people do it by putting others down, what you might call combative value. I feel better when I put everybody else down below me. Those are the kind of people who are actually taking your power. They want to put you down because they want to feel better, want to feel bigger than you. It's a very cheap way of trying to gain value. Not very effective way, but still people do it. Those are the people who are usually then putting you down, taking your value away, and therefore shaming you. So there's both loss of power and the dumping of shame going on at the same time. So anytime you don't feel good, you know there's something not right. If people are making you feel somehow less, they're taking power, making you bad about yourself, they're dumping shame. If you're feeling good and somebody makes you feel rotten about yourself, they've shamed you. Simple. Don't take that, just give it back.
What does it mean to have what does it mean to have surrender when we are sovereign? Because it is usually presented as loss of control or trying to control our lives. What does it mean to surrender and still remain sovereign?
It depends on what you're surrendering to. This we have to consider. Surrender requires a level of vulnerability, but then so does magic. See, when you're changing your reality, you're changing yourself. If you don't allow yourself to change, you're not being vulnerable to the reality you want, therefore not quite letting it happen. This we have to understand the difference between impact and resonance. Magic works through resonance. Energy is changing. It's not forcing things. Therefore, you have to be vulnerable rather than actually unmovable. Every time you're changing anything, you're changing you. The reality you're changing, you're creating, is changing you. To be vulnerable to love is to be changed because you're loved. That's what it means. You want to be vulnerable to love, you want to be vulnerable to your power. It does not mean being vulnerable to abuse. So what you're surrendering to? You surrender to the change you want, which means when I program something and then they just let it happen. Whatever comes in, I'm now going to allow that happen so it changes me. That's surrender. It's not surrendering to anything. It's not surrendering to an enemy. You see, when I put out any kind of intention, something's going to change, therefore I have to surrender to it if I want it to happen. I can't carry on being all hard and unfeeling and everything if I want to change anything, because it's going to change me. So if I don't do a visualization reworking, the wave comes back from the future to change me, I must be vulnerable and surrender to it. In other words, I just let it change me. It can be a pleasant feeling. It's like when you allow the essence of future in, all you do is allow the wave to come in, what it feels like to already happen. It's energy of the future coming in. You might visualize the future, and suddenly, well, as you're relaxing, this thought comes in of the future, who has it, and you feel it, what it's like to already have it. That's letting it in. That changes you, because it actually then turns into expectations, so you can actually then create even more efficiently afterwards. You see how the process goes on. We allow the future to change us as we change the future. So therefore, we have to surrender to the actually very goals we are setting. It's not surrendering to anything, it's surrendering to what we want, and surrendering to the beings that we want to work in co-creation with us. If you surrender to God, it's because you know God has got the best interests at heart. It's not about saying, give me whatever you want, God, even if I suffer. No, that's not what it means. It means, I want to create this, and I'm going to get out of my way so you can make it happen. I'm going to let it all happen and just let it change me. That's surrender.
What is the best way to check if you have power from others and need to give it back to them?
Same thing. In the circle, just hand it back to them. It will change them. It'll change you as well.
If beauty and magic are created in chaos, then what about harmony? What if harmony is your luminous intent?
Harmony, we have to understand how these things play. We have to realise that we have a constant process of change where we actually create something when we got it, we then settle back and enjoy it for a while. And that time we're happy, there's harmony. We soon get bored and want to create something else. In that seeking to create something else, there's a new challenge, which is chaos. Chaos is the challenge in which we expand ourselves and we feel joy. Harmony comes to the happiness when we've succeeded, and what we've created filters inside to mean something to who we are. So we only really become happy when our success filters inside to mean something to who we are. As we experience the harmony. Harmony comes at the end of the chaos, when all the struggle is over and you've got what you wanted. Then after a while, you actually seek a new challenge. So you throw yourself into the chaos again with this challenge, where you grow and expand. So it's a continuous cycle, shifting between happiness and joy. Realize that life is full of opposites. You only need to know something by its opposite. Trouble is, people don't choose positive pairs of opposites. People might say balance happiness with unhappiness. I think, oh, I've got to have an opposite, so I'll know happiness because I've been unhappy. Why not say I know happiness because I've known joy? So in the harmony, there's happiness. That's the kind of completion where everything is at rest and you've got what you wanted. The chaos is where you grow and expand, where you get out there and seek a new challenge, create something new, expand again. That's where the fun is. Too much of the challenge without any kind of happiness, where there's no end result, leads to kind of struggle. Yet too much of happiness without new challenge leads to boredom. That's be the cycle between happiness and joy, chaos and harmony.
What if the reason we are not sovereign is because of deep internal reasons we do not know and cannot imagine as something outside of us, outside the circle?
It might take a little bit of thought sometimes, because if it's new to you, you have to think about more things I've said about how you get power away. There's always power lost to the outside along the way. We're all born with a certain level of sovereignty. It all depends on how much you're giving away, how much you lose that. Generally, when we reach our teenage years, we start rebelling against the parents because we want to find our own will separate from theirs. So we are starting to assert our sovereignty. Some people get crushed too much. Never have a chance to be a teenager. They get knocked that down so much they never fight again and actually give in. Then there is no will, you see. Having no sovereignty means there's no individual will. All you can do is do as you're told, always having somebody else make the decisions. That's because your confidence, your will has been so crushed. It needs healing. There are things that can heal that too, like we go back to the runes. Remember the Tio rune, which raises a fallen warrior. This often happens when you're a teenager. You know, when you're first rebelling, that's a warrior coming out. If it gets crushed and you never become a warrior again, the warrior's lost. You never know will. So you use the Tio rune to call the warrior back in and resurrect it. What happens is a piece of the soul can actually go missing. See, the soul comes in stages. The adolescence is about a new piece of the soul coming, and that's the fiery side. That's where we start to become rebellious then. The sexual drive wakens up, with it the will. That's the fire coming in. It doesn't get a chance to come in because there's no room for it. It's not there, it's missing. You have to often bring in that missing piece of soul. You can do shamanic soul retrievals, but in this case, the Tio rune is perfect for that particular part of the soul. It brings that fire back and returns the warrior in you. When that's it, then it's automatically that you want to fight and be willful again.
What is the relationship between remaining sovereign and enlightenment that we wish to surrender to? God's will working through us sort of thinking, or having no self kind of thinking?
Our relationship to the God is one of co-creation. If we first solely surrender to do nothing, let God do everything, there'd be no point of us being here, would there? We'd just be an empty vessel. But actually, we're all part of God. In the beginning, this oneness chose to create a universe and go and explore it, enter into it. In entering into it, we become this one piece, left everything outside ourselves. So we tend to forget who we are. However, all that is us too. In order to actually function as one with God, while still being in this 3D time and space, we have to have a relationship of co-creation. We're sharing with God. We create together. They have their dreams, we help them create. We have our dreams, they help us create. It's both ways. We have individual dreams, but also we're part of a bigger dream. We want better things for the world because the will of God is in us. We want to see the great plan unfolding. We want to see everybody evolving, everybody growing happy and stepping into the power and everything. This is part of the great plan. We all have that too. But within that, we all have individual dreams. So co-creation is about co-creating with the God. We help the God, Goddess, create their dreams, and they help us create our dreams. We work together. So we're not totally surrendering. As I said, surrender is about surrendering to the end result, to actually let it change you. You're still making a choice. You find life is full of paradoxes. One of the big paradoxes of magic is to understand the balance of intention and surrender. What magic requires is a very strong intention plus a deep surrender, both. The stronger my intention is, the more it can actually change me when I surrender. If I don't surrender, that intention doesn't complete itself because I'm not letting the change happen. So I have an intention, but then I surrender. It doesn't mean giving up the intention. It means getting myself out of the way so it can happen in the way that's most harmonious. It's going to change me too. I don't necessarily know how exactly it's going to manifest, so I have to surrender. I don't try to control the events of my life because I might be getting in the way of what I want to create. It's the problem with the control. People think they have to work out exactly how their life's going to work. They have to try and control every little thing. But actually in magic, you can't do that, because if I actually create a new life, between where I am now and where I'm going to go, there's going to be chaos because it's all changing. If I'm trying to control that, I'm not allowing the change to happen elegantly. So the surrender is not a loss of intention. You hold a strong intention, but then you surrender so it can happen. You don't try to control it, you just allow it to happen. You trust that there's a greater force making it happen, and you're going to go with that and not try and control it.
Is the resonance of beauty associated with our heart chakra, green, for example?
It's actually more linked to the crown because it's the highest energy you can actually reach in this incarnation. You see, when the goddess first created the universe, it's like a bubble she blew of her love. The first thing she breathed into it was beauty. Simply because she was full of joy, but joy in its own was too fiery. It had to be balanced with peace. It's the joy with peace together that produces beauty. It's that sense of exhilaration with serenity. Every time we sense something we consider beautiful because it gives us that feeling inside ourselves, the joy with peace, exhilaration with serenity, that's what beauty is. It's the first energy the goddess breathed into the universe because that's the natural state of being. Magic happens in that is unstoppable because that's the energy of creation. It is the highest energy, it's that it is part of our oneness with the goddess. So it comes to the crown.
Exactly, how does one come back from the crushed will?
First step is to use the rune, as I said, the Tyr rune, because that actually brings back the fallen warrior. Because what's happened is actually gone missing. That piece of the soul has gone out because there's no room for it. You bring it back and suddenly you come up fighting. So it requires a kind of soul retrieval, which the rune can do. Also, it's a case of actually just going through the emotions you built up. You find when you've been through a long trauma, will has gone, there's going to be a level of apathy. You have the memories of the loss, so you gave up, and there's apathy, and then there's going to be a grief and the fear and the anger and so on. Let yourself go through the emotions. It's much easier if you start with the soul retrieval to bring in that missing piece, because then the emotions start flowing naturally. First, it happens when the warrior comes and you get angry at all the things that have disempowered you. You fight back. Then the anger turns to assertiveness. Gets things done.
Wonderful. That is all of the power-related questions that we have. We've got just a few minutes left. Peter, are you okay if I go over to the pre-submitted questions that are
sure,
unrelated
okay.
topic? But before we go over to the unrelated questions, just a quick note about the radionics program, Peter, that you gave to everybody, that you put everybody right. on. Can you please confirm, does that run 2 weeks from now or from when the person watches the replay or receives the...
Receive it, either for you it's now, if you watch the replay it starts then.
And
if you want to do it again, if you want to do it again in 2 weeks, watch replay again, you get it all again.
That's what I thought, yeah. So so if you want to set a reminder, everyone, that you want this to keep going, then you can put that note in your calendar. So going over to the pre-submitted questions then very quickly. So this is a little bit of a long one, so bear with me. So this person is a self-made medium with great capabilities and also to develop their own energy beam. So they have a question about the bundling and the moving or translation from different energies that are needed by themselves and how to get detached to some beloved ones from a distance without being noticed or bothering them, especially their girlfriend and their family and people they call older gods. This is to help or create a cosmic connection to stay. So to help other people and saving them at the same time, I need a way to mind travel, arrive and explore the situation that I find. My powerful love is strong, hot, wide and high, but mostly my patience isn't that strong that I'm able to do my research calm and steady from my high position or mindful state of mind. So I hope that you can advise me what kind of stuff I need and fulfill my target to make contact again with my loved ones, but this time I want to do it my way.
Okay. This we have to look at control issues. Why? What is your way? When I talk about surrender, you set an intention and let it happen. It might not be in a way you think it will. There has to be a type of surrender here. When you're looking at this need to control here, there's another fear involved. You know, you think things are not going to go right if they don't go exactly how you plan. Well, the first thing to do is welcome that fear. Because until you release that fear, you're not relaxing deeply enough to actually achieve what you want to achieve. It's really natural to connect beyond time and space as you relax more deeply. I spoke about this before when we were doing the talk about clairvoyance and so on. Going deeper into deeper brain waves is what allows it to all happen. Tension stops you. That's to be letting go. When there's fear and you need to control things, you're not quite getting there. First thing, therefore, is to observe your own fears around it, your need for control. What do you think is going to go wrong? How do you feel? Feel the tension, let it go. Feel the fear, work through it, let it all go. Until you get to this point of surrender, where you know you can set an intention and it happens. What will happen as you go deeper, you can actually see it happening. You won't even be able to trust anymore. It happens because you're going deeper. It's letting go. As you recognize your true role in the universe, it's beyond technique. Now, yes, you can connect with people just by relaxing and feeling them. When you're trying to, you're holding a separateness there. It's actually the senses that keep us separate from everything. Think about it. My sight is showing me that I'm here and you are there. My hearing is saying I'm here and this sound is from over there. It's all about separation. When the senses go and you experience life, there is no separation. What this, when you shut the senses down and go beyond hearing, seeing, anything like that, beyond all technique and just feel, you actually come to this position of oneness. We recognize that those people are me. Doesn't matter how far away they are, we're all one. I can feel everything. Everything I'm actually seeing and feeling is actually me. Even if I say something, take something, I want to take a flower and look at it. Actually, when I actually soak my senses down, instead of seeing actually the color and the scent and everything, I realize it's me. All I'm doing when actually smelling it is my awareness is rising to the depths to experience itself in a moment of joy. There's a oneness amongst all things, but we have to go beyond the senses to get there. Do that, we have to let go of the illusion. We have to let go of trying to control things. When you do, there's infinite power because you're one with God. Everything comes easy without technique. But the first thing is to let go of having to do it your way. Why any particular way? As long as it happens. As long as you actually get what you want. As long as you actually create the healing, the change, all the things you want. But also the other people, also a reflection of yourself. When you change yourself, you change the other people close to you too. Your attitude, your beliefs in them are holding them in place. They all have to be changed too. It all starts with the self, and it means welcome everything you're feeling and letting go. Not trying to hold on to any kind of perspective, particularly ego. Not trying to be right, but always be willing to actually keep welcoming, expanding as you. The more you actually feel, the more you realize. The more you change to those around you. And the more you let go, the more you deeply go into that God nature in which you can change anything. It's not done with the need to control, but it's done with pure love. Love doesn't try to change you, but it does change you. It makes you more. Love is not saying you have to change. And it's not saying don't change because I like you as you are. Love is saying I love you as you are, but through my love you become more.
Thank you. A friend who is an athlete is very attached to his smartwatch for sports calculations and other smart devices like smart toothbrushes, etc. How will this affect him, and will it affect me if I'm physically but not sexually close to him? And is there a magical way of neutralizing this and protecting us, i.e. psionically or another way, e.g. your talisman to neutralize transhumanism?
It all depends on how strong you are, really. Remember, with each kind of new kind of technology developing, the new with stronger waves and 5G and so on, more and more people are showing themselves to be electrosensitive. As it's stronger, we need to be stronger. Obviously, not everybody suffers the same. Some people are more resilient because their basic life force is stronger. If we've had things like 10 megadal and build a strength up, nothing affects us. And this is really the only way to go because we can't stop all the different energies in the world. But this is how life is. If you think about it, when you were a baby, you have to set things up to protect you. Like, for instance, you might think, go to the sea, a 3-foot wave would be deadly. So you set up a 5-foot wall. When an adult, that 3-foot wave would be fun. Yet the walls are still in place, stop you from having fun. We have to become stronger rather than actually shut things out. That's the thing. If we strengthen our life force up through our tenagadalam, then the electromagnetic radiation doesn't affect us anymore. Also, there is an immunity to radiation empowerment I've given. Makes you immune to all radiation, so that's the other one you can work with. But the main thing is to build your strength so things don't affect you. The stronger you are, the less the electromagnetic radiation actually affect you.
Sorry, busy typing away, responding to someone. There is another question, a non-related one. Bear with me. Something about bone broth. Oh, I'm sorry, everyone. You caught me out. I was typing. So there's a good few links been put in, everyone. And remember, we've got the workshop coming up, How I'm Coming to Terms with It. If you want to register, the link is also in the chat, so you can do that. I've lost it. Sorry, Miriam. Oh gosh, bad person. No, I'm not a bad person. Just a... Oh, here's another one. What's your... Oh, here it is. Thank you. What's your view on drinking bone broth to help heal chronic exhaustion and depletion, as most animals have been vaccinated? Is it okay if I put it on the DNA guard, or will it still create more unconsciousness?
The DNA, well, DNA guard, the free entry itself will affect the actual DNA of the bone, actually. So you can do that, but you might have put it in for quite a while. These vaccines are pretty insidious. The level of nanotube that goes into actually mess the DNA takes a lot more energy than anything else has ever done before. Usually, you know, like a non-organic food you can put on the tree and it's healed in about 20 minutes. With this kind of nanotechnology going on, it can take days. So be aware of that. You know, just avoid it if you preferably. You can actually heal it because it'll take a while.
Thank you. All right, we've just got a couple more questions and then we will wrap it up for today. The conscious mind... Oh, no, this one's before that. What does it mean to have a strong ego and still have enlightenment? Oh, gosh, is that a quick answer?
Okay, now a strong ego is not a negative one. A strong ego is a mature one. So let's force one understanding what the ego is. It's not the bad guy you have to get rid of. It's only a problem when it's immature. See, the ego goes with us. When you're a child, the ego's first... measurement of everything is, am I getting enough? Usually enough love, enough food, things like that. It all sees the world as a dangerous place. As you get to adolescence and become more image-based, the ego's message is, am I good enough? As you get to the kind of young adult stage, you have to learning faster. The ego's asking, am I growing and learning fast enough? The full ego should be saying, I am enough. The mature ego is one that's aware of its negative and positive and make choices. It's not automatically reacting to the child. Like, for instance, we all have an ego. The ego is a part which actually shows the messages from the world, so we can consciously put into formal context. If we let it leave on automatic, it's also taking control of the formal context. Simple example, somebody might come to your house for dinner one day. On the way, they knock something open, it's broken. The simple message from the ego should be saying, that's broken. The ego might say, it's child to say, he did that on purpose, he doesn't like me. You know, so you can see the interpretation comes in from not feeling good enough or not feeling you're getting enough, all those things. The child and adolescent interruptions come in. They colour what you're seeing. A mature ego, it's what it does its job clearly. It means it gives you clear information so you can put in formal context, you can actually answer to it. It should be stepping out of the immature stage of it. So strong ego is a positive one, one that you can actually use properly. Now, we need an ego to function in this physical world, but actually we don't need it in meditation. As saying, the ego is part of our separateness. Our senses are part of our separateness. Right now, when I'm talking to you, I'm seeing me here and you there. There's ego involved, there's separateness. When in meditation, if you experience everything as oneness, there's no ego. But I can't walk around like that. I can't talk to you all without having a certain sense of separation. Otherwise, I'd be talking to myself, wouldn't I? And I wouldn't need to, because I already know everything. So in oneness, we have no ego. But in life, we have to have an ego. But we want a mature ego, one that's not going to hold us back. One that delivers the messages properly, shows us what's happening in our reality, delivers the content of reality. It should be always reaching the state that I am enough. If it's still, am I getting enough, am I good enough, you're still in the child or adolescent state. That's what we have to grow out of. A strong ego is a positive one that's matured.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. We have run out of time, everyone. So please, I know there are three or four questions that have not been asked today. So if that is your question, then please, I ask you to put that question into the MeWe group and Peter will respond to that question there. So again, please, if your question has not been answered, please put it into the MeWe group and Peter will answer that there. Or if you are coming to the student call tomorrow, then you can put your question in again tomorrow and I will alert Peter to that question at the right time. We do have the workshop coming up in 30 minutes or 25 minutes now. So please, if you would like to join us and you haven't yet registered, then you can. Those of you who are part of the membership, make sure that you register to get the link. And there is a story to read. So if you have not read The Magical Story, you must do your homework before before coming to the workshop. So you've got 25 minutes to go to the loo, get yourself some water or whatever, and do your homework, read your story.
Yeah. It's not too long. Quite a nice little story, so just a quick read and then we'll talk about it later.
Where is the story? The story is in the in Teachable, the online school, the online portal. So if you head over to the online portal, go into the thumbnail that is the power coming to terms with it, then you will find the story in the handout section. If you take a look to the left there, remember there is a link also here for the mandala. I will be putting that also in the MeWe group, so you can download that at your pleasure. I think that's everything from today. Peter, is there anything else you'd like to say before we sign off?
No, that's nothing now. I'll get a little break before the next one, so we've got time to go to the loo and everything.
Yes.
So we'll just say goodbye to FNL.
Yes, so if we don't see you in the workshop later on in 25 minutes, then we hopefully will see you tomorrow. Thank you very much for watching back. If you are on the replay, have a wonderful rest of your day.
Okay, bye.
Luke, if you're still with us, you're not in the MeWe group. That's fine. I can give you the link. Luke, the link for the MeWe group is for students. So if you are a student, if you have purchased any of Peter's products, then that group is available to you. So just email in at azizshamanism.com and the link will be given to you. Or if you have any courses in Teachable in the online school, there's also instructions there of how to get access to the MeWe group. So if you have purchased a course, the instructions on how to get to the MeWe group is there. The MeWe group is for students only. So maybe that's why you don't have access to that. Yeah, it's not for the free one. It's only for paid courses. So that's what the MeWe group is for, or who it's for, should I say. Any other questions, then let me know. Miriam, I know I didn't get to your... Oh, no, I did get to you. No, there was another question from you, Miriam, so please put it in the MeWe group. Thank you, Luke. Thanks for asking. Okay. Well, I too need to do my homework and I have to read the story. It's the story in the MeWe group. No, it's not in the MeWe group. It's only in the online school. So you need to go to Teachable, the online school. You need to go into the thumbnail where you have power coming to terms with it. Click on the thumbnail, go into that course, and then you'll see how to use this course. A handout. There's a handout lesson. Click on that and the story is in there. You're very welcome. I need to read my story too. So I'm going to close the group now, the room. So wonderful. Thank you very much, everyone. Speak to you all very, very soon.